Well, I hope we did okay by Parliament Funkadelic or Crumpadelic.
All Crump. Thank you, Crump.
And Crump's mom.
And Crump's mom.
Thanks, Anne. And now?
You are a hero, Anne.
You are indeed. And now more tunes, and we're out of here. Coming up here at 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, until Benjamin and or somebody from his crew gets here, we're just going to play a few more tunes.
Are we just chilling?
We're just chilling now.
Chilling.
Just chilling and hanging.
Hey.
Now a scream which fills the air and haunts the smallest children sleep upon the floor. But have they gone, you'll hear them say, with smiles meant to cry, as they wind a watch strapped on a wrist and quickly look away. And four and six have come and gone five times before they're seen, and upon the lips of everyone a curse they've never dreamed. Yet upon the lips of everyone a curse they've never dreamed. It's a complicated situation. It's a complicated situation, Mama. I'm a complicated situation. Sacrifice, they say, with crippled grins. The eyes of youth must lose their way and stumble here within. So the sleeping children were awoke in time to haze their eyes. So it's never known on which they choked with books of olden time. So it's never known on which they choked with books of olden time. It's a complicated situation. It's a complicated situation, Mama. I'm a complicated situation.
you only ever used to get. Juicy name. Well, now nobody ever taught you how to live on the street. And now you find that you're gonna have to get used to it. Oh, but you said that you never compromise with a mystery champ, but now you.
Welcome to Isla Earth. You might have heard of animals shifting their nesting dates in response to climate change. That's happening with turtles in the Midwest. In this case, with some surprises. Biologist Fred Jansen of Iowa State University studies turtles nesting on an island in the Mississippi River. He's accumulated decades of research that tracks these turtles' habits. He's found them nesting earlier than in the past. One species, the red-eared slider, now nests 3 weeks earlier than in the 1990s, a fast response to climate change, especially for turtles. Nesting date moves themselves are not unusual. They help animals adapt their behavior to short-term fluctuations in annual weather patterns. But turtles also have what's called temperature-dependent sex determination, where incubation temperatures determine hatchlings' gender. Warm weather, more females. Colder weather, more males. With warmer temperatures, Jansen expected more female hatchlings, but instead, the boys greatly outnumbered the girls. Turns out that the air is warmer, and so turtles are nesting earlier, but the ground's still cold, causing more embryos to develop as males. An overabundance of males combined with adult females forced to change nesting habits could adversely affect turtle populations. So Jansen is closely watching the turtles race against climate change. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is recorded on the campus of California State University, San Bernardino, and produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy, because Earth is an island.
90.1 FM is supported by Sugar Rush. On January 29th at the Promise Event Space at 1814 Oak Street is Casey's competition to name Casey's Sweetheart. Sweet treats and drinks to sample from, Cowtown Cheesecake, Tropical Snow, Nothing Bundt Cakes, Parkville Coffee, Scratch Bakery, McLean's Bakery, Waldo Pizza, Tippins, Hungry Monkey Party Bites, Baked in KC, Cooper's Hawk Wine, Smirnoff, and more, sponsored by Bay Pure.
People think that someone's trying to demonize the black man. I mean, the rappers are the biggest thing in the black community. You're taught the thug mentality. And
this narrative of being dangerous, you get approached like you're not there to be protected. You're there to be subdued.
Melissa Hasley of Penn Valley Community College and attorney David Bell returned for another call-in show about race. That's Jaws of Justice Radio, Monday, 9 a.m., right after Democracy Now!
Support for 90.1 FM provided by Folk Alliance Music Fair Public Concerts. Three nights of music, Thursday, February 19th through Saturday, February 21st at the Sheridan Crown Center Hotel. Music starts at 7 p.m. each evening with over 20 acts each night, including Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn, Sam Baker, Ray Wiley Hubbard, Red Volkert, The Stray Birds, Dom Flemons, Betsy and Clark, Curtis McMurtry, Sarah Morgan, Red Molly, The Howland Brothers, Howard Iceberg, and dozens more. Tickets are available at folk.org or in person at the Folk Store, 5th and Delaware.
If your unemployment benefits have been denied in the last 30 days, you may be eligible for free legal assistance from attorneys and law students through the UMKC School of Law Unemployment Benefits Clinic. To find out if you are eligible for these free legal services, your unemployment benefits must have been denied in the last 30 days. Contact the clinic today and talk to an attorney about your case free of charge. Call 816-235-5129. Again, call 816-235-5129.
It's Decoration Day. I have a mind to roll a stone on his grave. What would he say? He'd say, keeping me down, boy, won't keep you away. It's Decoration Day. And I nearly healed, boys, to put him away. My daddy wasn't afraid.
said we'd fight till the last Lawson's last living day. Well, I never knew how it all got started. Problem with Holland before we were born. And I don't know the name of the boy we tied down. And we beat till he just couldn't walk anymore. But I know the caliber in Daddy's chest. I know a Holland he'll try. The state let him go, so I guess it was best. Cause nobody needs all us Lawsons alive. Come by, lumberman's favorite son. Said beat him real good, but don't dare let him die. And if you see Holland, he'll run. Well, I said they ain't give us trouble before. We ain't brought down on ourselves. But a chain on my back, my ear to the floor. I'll send all the hill boys to hell. I'll send all the hill boys to hell. so much.
I'm just a shadow of a bigger man, glowing brighter with each year I am. Doesn't this music make you want to just take a nice little tap of ecstasy? Give a massage to your neighbor? We're not neighbors right now, by the way.
I'm against any music, any drugs to enjoy.
Oh, right. Music and drugs, that's a bad idea. Sir. Ecstasy, totally illegal. Forgot about that. It does help you dance, though. If you need help dancing, not everyone needs help dancing. Some people are just ready to go. Absolutely true. You look really concerned over there, Jim. Are you concerned?
Certainly.
Okay. Are you concerned about electronic devices in the on-air studio?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because this is the Paragon Radio program. There's lots of different levels of concern one could possibly have. From macro to micro, that kind of thing. Lots of things out there to be concerned about. It's on the board. One of those. You'll get it figured out. One of these days, it'll click, son. Jim's actually a DJ. He'll be performing this weekend at the IKEA. He'll be by the Horse Meatball Lounge.
I would never do that.
They should. I would imagine they do have something along those lines at the IKEA. That him? He's here, everybody. He's here. Well, since everyone can show up on time, we should probably just going to be absolute confusion as people get situated. Got to go let him in. Let's put the music back on for a little bit. Yep, the mother load. It smells like lavender oil in here all of a sudden. I wonder what that could mean. All right, it's about 25 minutes after the hour of midnight. You're tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
I think it's 3 minutes till midnight, Ben.
It's 3 minutes till midnight?
That's the atomic clock. Sorry.
Oh, they're still giving us 3 minutes? I thought it was like 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, that's just 3 minutes, which I think you're right. It's probably closer to 30 seconds.
The Union of Concerned Atomic Nuclear Scientists. What is that group called that has the atomic clock countdown? It's a pretty classic name, whatever it is. That clock has gotten a little bit closer. You know that Pakistan right now, 80% of Pakistan is in the dark right now. There was a terrorist attack on the Pakistani electrical grid.
It's the doomsday clock.
The doomsday Doomsday Clock, but Union of Concerned Scientists or something.
Journal of Atomic Scientists, I believe.
They're not concerned, though? I had it in my head that they were extremely concerned about
that. I bet they are.
Had it in my head that they were extremely concerned.
The danger is great, but our message today is not one of...
It's a huge and great danger.
Well, there is still time to act.
Calm down that woman, if you would, please. She should be concerned. But towns and cities across Pakistan plunged into darkness early Sunday when officials said there was an attack by militants on the electrical grid. 80% of that country without electricity. Hopefully the other 20% is where they keep the nuclear bombs. I mean, that's all we would need, right? I don't know, what's worse? In the Dark Ages, Muslim fanatics or Christian fanatics armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons? What would be worse? I mean, it's probably a toss-up. I couldn't imagine either one being the worst of the situation. Well, as we all just kind of get situated here, just sit down, relax, and enjoy. You can follow the program on Twitter. At Paragon Radio is the old handle. You can email us. You can go to gofindtheothers.com. You can raise one to the roof for the big man upstairs. You could also call 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. Jake's here. Suicide brought in the old-fashioned way. Jim's here. Position of control. Jim's been promoted. Been given a new responsibility here at the Paragon Radio Show. And as always, I'm here for now. Man, I had the opportunity. This would have been the place to be on Martin Luther King's Day. Have you eaten there before?
No.
It's delicious. It really is. There's a Haitian / Ethiopian restaurant over on Broadway. Mm. Or excuse me, on Main Street called Awaze. They don't have electricity or heat. It's kind of in line with the whole Haitian theme. Food is delicious, however. Food is delicious. I recommend bringing a scarf and some gloves if you were to make your way over there. Did you have a note you wanted to pass me? Just kind of getting things situated? Okay. I'm going to stick that in somewhere over there. I'm going to insert that somewhere. Let's get some insertion going on. Yep, there it is. I killed myself doing that. You have nothing, do you? You have something?
Good, very good. Perfect.
Well, the irony is that... Oh, there we go. All right. Let's get nice and situated here. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Are you? Are you doing fantastic?
It's got some free time this weekend.
You got free time?
Yep.
That's good. Did you make the most of it?
Absolutely. I made it down here.
Get a little bit closer to that old microphone. Oh.
Absolutely.
And you made it down here?
On time, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. Man apple time.
Yep.
It's a different kind of thing. It's a country time thing.
It's actually pretty early.
Well, depending on one's perspective, yes, that's absolutely correct. It is kind of early. I saw this tweet. Yeah, that's right. I saw a tweet, Jim. Made me think of you. This is from Jonathan Turley, who's very interesting. He's a constitutional lawyer, professor. A study shows that 1 out of 4 sports fans, because sports is very important, 1 out of 4 sports fan believe that God chooses the winner of sporting events. I thought that was funny, too, because that number seems so low.
It does.
25%? I mean... How many people out there believe in angels? Show of hands. That's more than 25%. Maybe not listening to the Paragon Radio program at this hour.
There's a baseball team called the Angels.
Exactly. People believe in this stuff. That only 25% of sports fans believe that those sport game outcomes are chosen by God.
Well, it's, you know, I've seen a couple of those games, and I'm pretty sure that no matter what team wins, the one that wins always immediately. Thanks God for that victory.
Sure. Well, that's the thing.
Smite their foe.
You got to thank your mother, too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank your mama. Thank Cuss. And thank God. That's what you got to do. I was surprised that the disgust that people had in America. I don't know if you picked up on this. There was an issue with the pounds per square inch in pigskin for the playoffs, NFL, football's Deflategate.
Yeah,
I know you've heard about it. Everyone's heard about it. I was surprised that people who consider themselves to be football fans found themselves disgusted with the over-analysis, the over-reportage of Deflategate. Underinflated footballs was actually disgusting sport fans. As I was bringing people back down to earth, going, this is exactly what everyone focused. I mean, how could you, with everything going on in the world, be surprised that people want to focus more in on Tom Brady's ability to grip a football? That's exactly what people want to do. Why would you want to focus in? It's, you know, to have circus, you need a little bread, you need to put them together, and it makes people happy. Easier to deal with that than it is anything else.
Or it makes them angry and they expend a bunch of good energy on nothing.
Well, I mean, and people have calories to burn, Jake.
Right.
So that's good. I mean, that's a lot of people out there have some extra energy that they could spend to, you know, to lose. They could stand to lose it.
It just seems like the bread and circus these days doesn't satiate people satisfactorily. It gets them quarreling and bickering and, you know, divide and conquer is the bread and circus way. With underinflated footballs and overinflated players.
Underinflated footballs and overinflated. Have you been listening to sports radio again?
No.
You just came up, that was all your own?
I just winged that one. No, there's the universe seeks equilibrium.
Got on a macro scale.
Yep.
On a micro scale, thank God it doesn't. Right? Or Henry Kissinger would get his way. Right? I mean, am I wrong about that?
I think he got his way already.
You think Hank did?
Mostly.
You're talking about his sexual exploits?
Well, all of it combined.
It could be part of it, his sexual exploits. I saw an interesting story. I love the way the media loves to scare us with terrorism. So there were two planes in Atlanta that were diverted and grounded, and they had to search them because they thought there may have been bombs on them. Apparently somebody using the Twitter handle King Zortik, which I don't know why I did not try to include royalty into my Twitter handle. I mean, I have opportunities to redo that, I guess. NORAD fighter jets escorted two flights to Atlanta after authorities received bomb threats via Twitter they deemed credible. Bomb squads swept the planes, which landed safely. Passengers were evacuated and questioned. No bombs were found, which is funny that they refer to it as a credible bomb threat. It would have to be an uncredible bomb threat, no? If they didn't actually find any bombs on there, how could it still...
Or be a poor search.
Well, nothing's exploded yet.
Right.
Nothing's exploded yet. So, King Zortik tweeted, at Delta Assist, I have a bomb on one of your planes, but I forgot which one when I left the airport. Can you help me find it? ? And then he tweeted sometime later, as part of a nationwide state agreement, a bomb was placed on one of your planes, and it will be detonated at a random time of my choosing. So that was all on Saturday. By Sunday, they had shut down King Zortik's Twitter site or Twitter page.
It's a very comic book villain thing to do.
It is kind of a...
Yeah.
They need to find an island somewhere in the Atlantic that has a big skeleton-shaped cave, don't they?
Hmm.
And that's where King Zortik is. He's inside of that cave with probably a hairless cat. Does that sound about right?
Yep. Henchmen in matching uniforms.
And then a big globe so he can see what's going on. Probably got, you know, interfaced with like a Garmin Google Earth thing. You know what I mean? King Zortik even elaborated on how the bomb was allegedly smuggled through airport security onto the Delta flight and where it was placed on the plane. Everyone will know when it's detonated, he claimed. Everyone will know. But you got to love that NORAD fighter jets escorted two flights to Atlanta after receiving credible bomb threat. NORAD doesn't play around now. I mean, if there's a possibility of a plane doing this or that, doesn't matter if a blind sheikh's flying it, they got to go get it, right? Escort those. I mean, it's a lot of bad press. You know, once upon a time when NORAD didn't seem to be escorting planes around. So the planes have been cleared after credible bomb threats. So you know how Amazon's going to start bringing, you know, razors and underwear to your front door with drones?
Is this the mess drone?
The Mexicans have already got out in front of Amazon. So old Jeff Bezos has got to catch up. Police in a Mexican border city said Wednesday that a drone overloaded with illicit methamphetamines crashed into a supermarket parking lot. Isn't that a Mexican supermarket? Have you ever been to a – I mean, Mexican supermarkets are awesome for a lot of different reasons because Mexicans are awesome. I love Mexicans. I really, really do. And Mexican supermarket, do you know how many flavors of apple soda they have in a Mexican supermarket? Do you know how many piñatas are hanging from the ceiling? It's a festive time. You can buy an extremely elaborate dress for a 15-year-old girl at a Mexican supermarket. There's so much going on. It's a circus. It's not like going to a Price Chopper or something like that. And then a drone with 6 pounds of methamphetamine. That's a lot of tweak, boys and girls. 6 pounds. It's a that's not one of those little RC, you know, drones you get for a kid on Christmas. I mean,
no, those don't have that kind of payload.
Yeah, a 6 pounder. And who knows? I mean, opportunity strikes. If you saw a drone fall out of the air and then a bunch of bundled packages land on the asphalt with a little puff of some white powder, and you're in a Mexican grocery store parking lot. I mean, if I was on 50th and Row, I'd know what I'd do.
Buy a shotgun?
No, I'd pull the car up, load it up, and get the hell out of there, man. Figure out what I had when I got back to the house. You know what I mean? But the cartels have them very scared down there in Mexico, so I can understand why. I mean, who knows? It could have been 12 pounds. Six packets of the drug weighing more than 6 pounds were taped to the 6-propeller remote-controlled aircraft. Apparently, you know, this happens all the time. Usually it's like a prison yard. Somebody's trying to smuggle in some bugle boy. Bugle boy. No, bugler. Bugle boy. Some bugler wrapped up in bugle boys, you know? It's usually what you see. That's awesome. They even had a picture of the methamphetamines. Speaking of methamphetamines, I had some. Have you ever had this before? Salted caramel crack cocaine or something along those lines, or just salted caramel. Have you ever had that?
I had some in a gelato form.
Do you know how evil that is?
Oh, absolutely. It was just tonight. I bought some of that. It's delicious.
Of salted caramel gelato?
Yeah.
You want to feel like an obese animal.
Well, I can't help it. I feel like that anyway.
Like some serious, you know, deep in the trough swine. Get some salted caramel methamphetamines. Have you seen the website Faces of Salted Caramel? And the before and after pictures from when people... If you put sugar and salt and butter together, you know what it makes? A lethal combination.
Legal crack.
I mean, essentially... Essentially, it's exactly what it is. I mean, in Mexico, they have a soda that is flavored as salted caramel methamphetamines. And it's really, really good.
Made out of apples.
Made out of apples. Well, natural and artificial flavors.
Yeah.
And it is really good. It's quite delicious. Did you hear the good news? Dennis Rodman's trying to get Seth Rogen to go to North Korea. That's going to solve a lot of our problems here in America. Do you realize that Seth Rogen is a large part of what's wrong in America? And maybe it's not just Seth Rogen, but it's the people who are backing Seth Rogen up. Whoever is financing his empire of dick and fart jokes. Seriously. And Dennis Rodman, I don't have the most respect for him since what he did to Carmen Electra so many years ago. But if he can get Seth Rogen to North Korea, does anyone think Seth Rogen's coming back? No.
I'm going to go with no.
No.
Yeah.
Really going to take care of a lot of the United States of America's problems.
I mean, he wouldn't go. There's no way. No way.
But, I mean, Dennis is trying, though. And maybe we should start a petition.
Dennis is like, no, dog. I'm with you. You'll be cool. You know, like
yeah, it's all good, Holmes.
Yeah.
It's all good. Because that stupid movie that they made believe that nobody wanted to watch it in the first place. Because everyone, all you need to do is see 15 minutes of a Seth Rogen movie. You know, homophobic, dick and fart joke humor. It's all it is. No value, no substance there. Fat guy smokes pot, penis jokes. Did I miss anything? Jake, is that does that sum it up?
A police officer. There's cops involved in most of them.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Fear of authority, that kind of thing. Just real simple. Real simple. Not missing anything. Get him to go. Speaking of movies, I saw American Sniper. That's a classic. I'm going to join. Why not? What you want to talk about a serious, you know, rah-rah, patriotic. I mean, there's no way that man's life was actually like that. I mean, for one, he's a Texan. He may have been a good, I don't know. May have been a good man, that Chris Kyle. May have been. But American Sniper is a little over the top.
Yeah, most of it's not.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't, but, you know, with the since Jesse Ventura got involved with the book in that lawsuit.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura.
I keep bumping into the story, but.
Yeah. Well, don't bump into Jesse. He gets sensitive when you do.
Or write about it if you do.
Yeah, sniping. The most lethal sniper in American history ever. And all he wanted to do was kill more people to save them. I mean, it's just classic. All he wanted to do was kill Hodges to keep, you know, his boys in green safe. What a great story. What a great story.
Yeah, I guess I should probably watch it. I had no interest whatsoever in seeing it, but, you know, I'll get around to it, I'm sure.
I mean, most movies anymore are garbage anyway. What was the last good movie you saw?
Oh, that might take a second.
You know, I mean, are there movies that are coming out that you're super excited to see?
I saw a good movie last week.
What was it?
Inherent Vice.
Inherent Vice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Little crime flick?
Kind of. It's like a detective story. It's a drug-addled, you know, late 60s, early 70s California detective story. It's interesting. I think, will merit 3 or 4 viewings. I'm trying to still figure out how many of the characters were just hallucinations of the main character. So,
wow.
Yeah.
My kind of story.
Right. Yeah, you'd like it.
My kind of story. This is from, so they had the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, which you got to love the fact that, you know, the world's richest, you know, people fly to Switzerland in their private jets to talk about global warming or something like that.
1,000 of them, right? 1,000 private jets?
1,700. 1,700.
Man.
Lots of them.
Way more than I thought.
Okay. Eric Schmidt, the executive chairman of Google, spoke at one of the many forums. His engagement was called The Future of the Digital Economy. At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Eric Schmidt gave an answer regarding the evolution of the web and said, I will answer this very simply, that the internet will disappear.
In its current form or altogether?
In its current form. Yes. There will be so many IP addresses, so many devices, sensors, things that you are wearing, things that you are interacting with that you won't even sense it. It will be a part of your presence all the time. Imagine you walk into a room, the room is dynamic, and with your permission, bull, by the way, with your permission, bull, and all of that, that's the bull part, you are interacting with the things that are going on in the room. Highly personalized, highly interactive, and very, very interesting worlds emerge. At the panel, he was speaking with Vodafone CEO Vittorio Colao and Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, which Microsoft has this thing that's coming out called the HoloGen or something along those lines, which is finally, you remember Lawnmower Man? Remember that movie?
Sure.
It's here. It's finally here. It's going to be one of those things, virtual reality. I mean, it's just...
When they get their mind fight, you know, you go to the store and then you'll have these overwhelming urges to buy Brondo.
Absolutely.
You know, you won't know why. It'll just be like, oh, I gotta have more Brondo.
I think it's the electrolytes is why.
Mm.
It's got what plants crave. Yeah, and unfortunately, according to this article, it takes a turn for the worse. Because Harvard professors depict a much more grim Orwellian world. Privacy as we knew it in the past is no longer feasible. How we conventionally think of privacy is dead, said Margot Seltzer, professor of computer science at Harvard. Sophia Ruthsch, a Harvard's genetic researcher, said it's not whether this is going to happen. It's already happening. We live in a surveillance state today. Really? Huh. Really, a surveillance state? Is that fair? Between all the smart devices, the Wi-Fi, the Google car. I mean, how many times do you see the Google car on a weekly basis?
It's getting more and more frequent.
All the damn time. The thing is going everywhere. And remember, as we get closer and closer to singularity, otherwise known as an artificial intelligence or whatever, machines don't have to do things perfectly. They just have to be better than us, right? That's why Carl's Jr. will take your children away because you can't afford to buy French fries out of a vending machine. It's not that the robot representative of Carl's Jr. will be able to raise your children perfectly, just better than your sloven self. It's the only difference. Yeah, so... According to certain Harvard professors, which is code for progressives, we are at the dawn of the age of genetic McCarthyism. Whatever that means. I don't know what that means, but it sounds scary, doesn't it? I mean, it's just, and it's the simple things. Did you know Edward Snowden uses a flip phone? Because he knows. He knows what's up. He doesn't use an iPhone. The infamous former contractor of the NSA who leaked thousands of pages of previously classified NSA intelligence documents reportedly thinks that Apple's iPhone has special software. Why does he think that? Because he smokes too much weed and he's paranoid? No. It's because he knows. He knows that it has special software. Edward never uses an iPhone, according to Edward. He talks about himself in the third person. That's not true, actually. He said... said Anatoly Kucherina, one of his lawyers over there in Russia. The iPhone has special software that can activate itself without the owner having to press a button and get... Well, I mean, it's an iPhone. Are there buttons on an iPhone? Without the owner having to press a button or the button, I guess I should say, and gather information about him. That's why on security grounds he refused to have his phone have this phone and prefers... A late 90s vintage Kyocera flip phone.
I've heard several people talk about that lately. Dana White of the UFC, I heard recently say that he only uses a flip phone. Louis C.K. will only use a flip phone now. I don't. It's not
because clearly Louis C.K. and UFC fighters have a lot of very sensitive information they want to, you know, protect from the surveillance and or genetic McCarthy police state.
Well, I mean, Dana White deals with a bunch of savage killers, and you know, plus the fighters. I mean, imagine the underbelly of Las Vegas and all the stuff he has to deal with in conjunction. Nevada State Gaming Commission, all these nefarious
individuals. Sure. Yeah, so get yourself. I mean, the sales of flip phones are going to increase dramatically. Where's Jesse when you need him?
He'd be flipping it.
Well, that's he rocks a flip phone for economic reasons.
Correct.
It's his financial planner recommends that he use a flip phone.
His accountant concurred.
With the CPA of final notice and company. At the time, accusations were immediately denied by Apple, stating the company is not involved in the supposed Prism project. Prism was the name of that synergistic network of the NSA putting together everybody and all their technology. Succeeding leaks showed that the NSA developed spyware that would target iPhones, allowing intelligence agencies to access messages, live microphone feeds, data contained in the devices, and location data. Yeah. It reminds me of listening to Alex Jones 10 years ago and him saying that your Scientific Atlanta cable box is watching you. Which it probably is. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, they're designed to.
Scientific Atlanta? That sounds like a scam.
Well, your modem knows everything you do, anonymous or by proxy anyway.
It's rough because I'm not proud of what my modem knows I've done. I'm not proud of that at all.
You got crabs in your hard drive?
At least crabs you can get rid of. They got like a special shampoo and a comb to get them out. It's the other things you have to worry about. It's the other things.
Full-blown data AIDS.
Yeah, no, for sure. Full-blown data AIDS. You know what scares the hell out of me, though? More than Eric Schmidt predicting the end of the internet or Edward Snowden saying that we're all being monitored by all the technology that we have around us all the time. It's Ray Kurzweil. This guy scares the ever-living crap out of me. And if you really want to get freaked out, go to his Wikipedia, the Wikipedia entry, not of his biographical information, but predictions made by Ray Kurzweil. Because people take this guy seriously. They really do take him seriously.
You got a couple whammies for us?
I'm going to... Where's the good one? It's one that... Do you guys know what a foglet is?
No.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to freak you out, dude. I just got to find... There are so many. You could just randomly read these. But it's a singularity that really freaks me out. Where is... Come on. Find some good stuff, some bread and butter here. Oh, here we go. No, I thought I had it. Most human... So this is all... These are all... Let me just... Bear with me here, folks. Bear with me. We'll get you some good stuff here. Okay. By 2049, according to Ray Kurzweil, food will be commonly assembled by nanomachines. The food is externally indistinguishable from natural food, but it can be made more wholesome since production can be controlled at the molecular level. This technology decouples food production from climate conditions and the availability of natural resources. When you have nanomachines building your food, the distinction between virtual reality and real reality becomes confounded as foglets come into common use, allowing immediate assembly or disassembly of all sorts of physical objects. A foglet is a whole bunch of tiny robots that then come together like microscopic transformers to create objects.
Or take apart existing objects.
By 2099, which quick math tells us is 84 years from now, the human brain has been completely reverse engineered and all aspects of its functioning are understood. Machines have attained equal legal status with humans. Humans and machines merge in the physical and mental realms. Cybernetic brain implants enable humans to fuse their minds with AI. In consequence, clear distinctions between humans and machines no longer exist.
Can I tell you the part they miss? And why you shouldn't be so afraid of it?
No, I'm trying to scare the crap out of the people, Jake. Are you trying to throttle that, or what's the deal
here?
Well,
no, I mean, that's
a thing going on here.
That's all very real and, you know, in the works. But we're, you know, there's a third dimension to the life force, whether it's bugs or insects or animals or plants or humans, you know, whether it's spirit, prana, you know, the morphogenic field. There's a million names for that extra dimension that's just not mind or body. And with software and supercomputers, they can do absolutely beautiful mimicry of the human mind. But so much of our decision-making as life force beings comes from, you know, another realm, whether it's dreams or ideas or a muse or what have you. There's just as many neural connections in the heart and the gut as in the brain. And as, you know, these guys say they've, you know, thoroughly computerized the human brain, but that's only a third of the equation. To truly have artificial life.
Sorry, I feel like we've got to listen to some music while you're talking about this.
They're going to have to, you know, because emotions play into decisions. Gut instincts, you know, going with your heart. Creatures don't make decisions strictly on ones and zeros or